now playing Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. Now, unfortunately, I've got none of my usual this week. Instead, they've saddled me with a couple of Blue Famers still fresh out of Quantico for a partner, some quarterback punks, Johnny Unitas or something. Actually, it's Fuzzy Dan and Doody Dutrum from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast. How are you, boys?
Hello, we're very well. Thank you for having us.
To Onokahu, hee-hee.
Oh, thanks again for coming on. First up, Doody, I heard you're a real Blue Flame special, aren't you, son? Young, dumb, and full of cum? I know.
I used to be full of cum, then I got married, and then for some reason, once the testicles came off, the cum just stopped. Yes, I'm...
And this was the point at which Sam realised never to use a quote from the movie to introduce anyone ever again.
Sort of full of cum, I guess.
How full of cum? Stop saying cum. Like, enough
How
cum
full of
jam.
Cum am I full of? Like a vat? A jar?
I mean, you're definitely a mason jar.
I sort of like the Die Hard 3 challenge with the gallons of water but cum. Like, you got a 5-gallon and a 3-gallon and you got to get 4 gallons.
Otherwise,
I was wondering how long this podcast would take before the wheels come off. And congratulations, you beat Paul and Wayne. They actually managed to make it to the first question, but no, you guys are doing well. And of course, the other one, Fuzzy Dan, who picked this movie. Now, Dan, I actually heard a story about you. I heard you were taking shrapnel and caisson when Doody was crapping in his hands and rubbing it on his face. Is that true?
Pretty much. I am the old hand at the wheel, the steady hand of Shaken Not Nerd. That's what they call me, old steady hands. I've been an experienced campaigner with this movie for many, many years. And as an elder gentleman, I love it. So
he's the man who actually made me watch the film as well.
Right?
Prior to that, I had not watched the film.
You'd never seen the film before this?
No, I'd only seen the... it was like 2007. I went on a New Zealand trip and like I woke up on a bus and they were playing Point Break and it was literally... the shooting in the air scene, and went, well, I've seen the best part of the film and went back to bed. I've seen that one point from Hot Fuzz and went back to bed.
His favorite film of all time is Hot Fuzz, which is pretty much just Point Break in an English countryside.
It is not.
It's the same movie. Everything about Hot Fuzz is great because of Point Break. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, man. That flummoxes me. Doody, holy hell.
Welcome to the conundrum, which is my... 4 gallons of cum brain.
How to follow that? Now, usually what we do on this podcast is we usually give everyone a plot for the film, and the most recent rule we've introduced is whoever's watched the movie recently has to give us a plot. And then we sort of pick holes in how much they remember the film, but I'm going to give you guys something different. I'm going to give you guys a flowchart, and what I want you guys to answer is just yes or no for this flowchart. And what this flowchart is are we watching Point Break or are we watching The Fast and the Furious? So first up, is the hero a puckish young FBI agent?
Yes.
Does he deduce that extreme sportsmen are responsible for a rash of crimes?
Yes.
Do we see the main characters drinking Corona?
Yes.
Does he track them by going undercover and take part in their sport?
Yes.
Does he initially target the wrong set of criminals?
Yes.
Does he fall in love with a waitress in the villain's circle?
Holy shit.
Yes.
Does he bond with the main criminal over shrimp in a beach restaurant? Yes,
yeah,
he does.
Okay.
Does the gang blow his cover and then coerce him into helping them with one last job?
Yes.
Does it go badly wrong with half the gang getting badly wounded?
Yeah. Well, they get badly dead, so yes, yeah. I would say yes. Yep.
After this bloodbath, does the hero let the villain go free at the end like some kind of massive idiot?
Yes.
And is Vin Diesel in it?
No. See?
Yeah. There we go. We're watching Point Break. We're not watching Fast and the Furious.
I have expected like Vin Diesel to be an extra as a kid on the beach or something. Like, hey, man, let me get the balls.
Little baby Vin Diesel. He's 5 years old. He still sounds like that.
Still bald.
So there we go. There's the flowchart of are you watching Point Break or are you watching Fast and the Furious, which accurately describes the plot of both films, except for the fact Vin Diesel is in Fast and the Furious, of course. Now, what we also do on this podcast is we give a score out of 10,000, and this week I'm going to give it scores out of 10,000 surfboards. We'll keep it simple. Yep. So, Doody, as a guy who hadn't really seen it before, why don't you give us a score out of 10,000 surfboards for the film Point Break?
I'm going to give it 7,236.
Oh, blasphemy.
I had seen it, but it was like, yeah, Fuzzy and I had been mates for like, what now, like 4 or 5 years, something like that. So like when me and Fuzzy first met, it's like, you got to watch Point Break. So I watched it. First time it was like, and then over multiple viewings, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's getting better and better. But yes, 72, 3-6, ain't bad.
Anywho.
It's a score. It's better than nothing.
What about you, Fuzzy? What would you give this as a score out of 10,000 surfboards?
I mean, 10,000 does not feel like that is the appropriate number of surfboards to encapsulate how awesome this fucking movie is. This is, without a doubt, the perfect fucking film. This is a million and one surfboards. It is just...
Yes!
It's just so fucking good.
Fuck you, Paul. That's right.
There you go, Paul, from the Countdown Podcast. Your score's been beaten.
Bang. I sat down to watch this with my wife this week, and she literally, she didn't know what was going on until I put the DVD, and she's like, she high-fived me. She was so fucking excited about watching this film. It's great. I love it. I love it so much. Million and one.
James. My wife had the exact opposite reaction. Pretty much a how can you stomachless, like, I love this film. I haven't seen it in a long time. I'm going to give it like 9,412. Mm. It still holds up. Mm. I don't think I'm at the Fuzzy level, but it's still an awesome, awesome film, man. Still fucking awesome.
So now the problem is that he has to defend the film.
There's no need to defend it. It's fucking perfect. So, you know.
That is why I will never do Hot Fuzz on a podcast.
Prove me wrong. That film.
So, yeah, I mean, we're going to kind of get into that because if you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We do 10 questions that can apply to any film, and then we bring up 3 personal questions each that we sort of thought of while we're watching the movie, and then finish on a listener question. And the question we always started with is a compliment sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing bad, one thing good. Unless you give it a score under 5,000, then it's just bad, good, bad. Or if you give it a score over 10,000, introducing the new Fuzzy Dan rule, you get to give good, good, good.
So. I will say I have got a bad thing in there. So there is something bad about this film that I don't like.
I bet you it doesn't go for longer. I bet you that's what it could. Anyway, Duty, why don't you lead us off? I want to see you try and throw something out there that Dan might have a heart attack at.
That's right. One thing good, to give us Hot Fuzz.
See?
One thing bad, it gave us Fast and the Furious. Yeah. And one thing good, it makes me hungry for a meatball sub. I mean, I'm hungry now. but as if it doesn't make you hungry, not one, but for 2 meatball subs, because I could smash 2 meatball
subs. Who the fuck can eat 2 meatball subs? That's a lot of...
You get me 2 meatball subs, I will smash those bastards.
Get you 2.
More than Anthony Kiedis loses a foot.
I actually believe that you would eat 2 meatball subs.
I would. I've done it before. I'll do it again.
I literally just had that for lunch. Okay, Fuzzy Dan, what about you? What's one thing good, one thing good, and one thing good about this film?
the most amazing part about this film, the surfing and the surfing shots, it's just amazing. Especially when you see the stunt doubles that are supposed to be like Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, because they use like 5 different guys. So you're like trying to pick who it is at that particular time. It's amazing. I love it. The bad about this film, it is definitely not long enough. It could have gone on for a million years. I would have watched them rob banks till the fucking cows come home. And final good about this film, it has the longest skydive ever shown on film, ever. They must have gone from the edge of fucking space to capture that skydive at the end. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
And you could see the parachute under their shirt.
You could definitely see the strings attached.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame is doing skydiving. What could be dead?
Yeah, good answer to these boys. I'm surprised. I thought this was going to be taken. Patrick Swayze just fucking rocks in this movie.
Oh, I've got a lot to say about him later on. Don't you worry about that.
That's your good, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, he's brilliant. Like, you know, they're floating on the goodwill from Roadhouse, and then he delivers in this as well. I mean, this is just spectacular. Almost said that without laughing.
Okay.
Duty pulled a face when you said Roadhouse, so yeah. He's not been initiated into that world yet.
Oh, you wait, Duty. The bad thing, I was going to say Keanu Reeves' dialogue delivery isn't very good in scenes, but no, I'm going to... Nah, it's Keanu. It's what you expect. What I'm actually going to say is the bad thing for me in this was that Keanu Reeves was able to deduce who the bad guys were by a set of butt cheeks about 50 meters out into the harbour.
Man's got vision like a hawk.
Yeah, he does. He's got vision like a hawk. He saw a guy's ass cheeks out in the, and Like, full butthole as well. I mean, we see a full
You a see full a butthole. Full anus in this film, at least twice.
Exactly. See a full anus on a black and white screen, and he's able to take that anus and then recognize another anus 50 meters out into the ocean. I mean, that's, well, it's yeah, a bit of a stretch.
I mean, once you've seen an anus, I mean, you recognize that's,
I mean,
that's
phrasing.
Burned into your retinas, man.
That is true. A rectum does burn into your retinas. That's a good point. And then final good thing for me, I just love how it's set piece after set piece after set piece. I love how it's like, here you go, here's the action scene, here's another one, here's a shootout at an airport, here's them skydiving, here's a chase to get on a fucking a like buggy or whatever. Here they are at the like at Bowers Beach in Australia. I just love how it's just set piece after set piece after set piece. Most action movies, they just like blow their wad on one big set piece. Not this movie. It just keeps blowing and blowing and blowing. And that's what you want out of a
that's
movie.
That's where their 4 gallons of cum comes from.
4 gallons of cum in a 3 gallon jug.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the compliment sandwich done. We're going to move over to question number two. Doody, you can take the honors. What's question number two?
Which side / background character straight up had their life ruined as a result of the events in this movie? I'm going to say the guy owning a lawnmower because he's going to need to get a new lawnmower. or the random homeowner whose dog now needs to go to the vet. Or Gary Busey's missing dog.
Yeah, their poor dog that gets just booted just straight up by right. Keanu Reeves. Eh?
It is an off-screen boot, so all you hear is that. Yeah. It's definitely booted dog.
I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Simpson, you'll have to put your dog down. What happened? She just got, Keanu Reeves just came to my home and kicked my dog.
That's good. What about you, Fuzzy?
I'm going to say Anthony Kiedis won't be walking for a while. That guy has no foot. that foot turns up to straight up bolognese, right? It just like explodes into spaghetti sauce. It's gross.
Yeah.
I love it. Imagine trying to take that shoe off. Oh. Yeah.
You might be putting another shoe back on.
Exactly right. He's going to be limping for a while. So yeah, Anthony Kiedis, straight up, man.
Yeah, I like that one. I had two as well. I reckon the... You know the girl that was in the house that with all the Nazi surfers or whatever that just goes to answer the door?
Yeah.
And there's just, yeah, some dude just like straight up machine guns her through the back to try and hit one of the other guys. I was like, feel sorry for her. But the other one is whoever the guy was that was managing that gas station when Bodhi just started torching people with his fucking petrol pump, man.
Don't do it, man.
Yeah. Hey, honey, how was your day at work? Oh, it was good. Some random dude dressed up as fucking Reagan just came in and started torching everyone with a gas station pump. How was yours? What?
I totally don't believe that because they have emergency shut-off valves as well. Like, the station owner's not pushing that?
No. Fucking stop trying to poke holes in this thing. It won't work.
Exactly. It was the 90s, man.
Reagan used to burn down petrol stations all the time. No one fucking stopped him. That was his modus operandi.
Jesus.
Moves us over to question number three. What is it there, Fuzzy?
What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film? And the question was posed early on in this by the lovely surf shop owner that told Keanu Reeves that it was great that he was getting into surfing even at his age. And Keanu said, "I'm 25 years old." He's like, "Yeah, man, it's great. Yeah, you're getting into it." I'm like, is it really too old? Because I'm fucked if that's the case.
As a man who started surfing about 3 years ago at age 34, yeah, fuck that kid.
Fucking little grommet.
Yeah, fuck that little asshole. The one I had was like, why does everyone just hate Keanu Reeves? Like, everyone. Like, Harp hates him the first second he meets him.
Yep.
Tyler hates him after she, like, saves his life. Pappas hates him without even seeing him.
Yeah.
And then there's two other scenes that make me think that everyone legitimately hates Keanu Reeves. There's a bit at the end where he's going down to the beach and we still see people on the beach, people leaving and all this other stuff. And then he straight up gets into a fight with Bodhi and no one runs over to help him. No one runs over to save him or anything like that. And they've got other cops that are hanging out there as well that could probably use this as a chance to swoop in. Instead, they're like, nah, we'll just leave him to it.
I mean, it's that pretty boy syndrome. He's a very pretty young man. So, like, everyone's like, fuck that guy. He can look after himself. It's all the uggos, man, hating on the pretty people. I get it a lot. It happens. And no one comes to help me. So,
I dig as well, man. I have that same problem. But because the other one, like, we mentioned the lawnmower dude. Same thing. Keanu Reeves and, you know, one of those Nazi surfer dudes or whatever just start brawling onto his lawn.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He just stands there and watches them. He's like, yeah, fuck Keanu.
Don't want to move the lawnmower back.
Exactly. What do you guys got?
I got how can Johnny Utah learn to surf with a shit knee, which is very knee focused.
It's a knee heavy sport,
it's
right?
It's a knee heavy sport, yes. But
it's all the knees. Like that's what they say. That's famously what they say about surfing. Yeah. It's all in the knees.
I'm sitting there going, fuck off.
Yeah.
That sort of alludes to one of my questions I have later. But yeah, I mean, I, as I said, started learning how to surf a couple of years ago, and man, I was like surfing every second or third day for about 4 or 5 months, and fuck that guy. This movie's bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that.
Also, how does Busey and Utah get out of the bank after he knocks out Dr. Cox? They'd immediately be arrested for assaulting Superior Officer.
Yeah.
Immediately be arrested.
He had it coming.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If you didn't want to punch him, like, at any stage during that, I wanted to punch him almost immediately.
That's Dr. Cox for me. I'd never punch Dr. Cox. Oh. I'd just accept the insults and then learn and be a better doctor.
Sure.
Exactly.
Moves us over to question number 4, which is the first of our Patreon questions. These are questions that have been submitted to us by you, our wonderful listeners. For the princely sum of $5 a month, you can get your questions in our first 10. And the first of which comes courtesy of the amazing man is Dave Baker. Dave also has his own Patreon, patreon.com/yourfavorite, where you guys should go check out and see some awesome, awesome content. And what he would like to know is which character from this film would have an awesome social media presence and on what platform?
Gromit. Gromit's got he's like an Instagram influencer in the making. He's young, he's blonde, he's a surfer. He's going to have a great following right up until the point where he live streams him getting ready for a bank robbery and then gets busted by the FBI. So,
yeah, that's pretty good.
Come on, he's a blonde, pretty boy surfer. I mean, of course he's going to be on Instagram.
That's not bad.
There we go.
Not bad. I was thinking Bodhi would have some sort of Tumblr where he's just like writes his own metaphorical bullshit about, you know, like anti the man and you got to stick it to the system and all that sort of stuff. And I can imagine people just swallowing that up and thinking he's like some sort of counterculture legend. Yeah, that's the one for me.
Yep, Tumblr is definitely the place for him.
I got Dr. Cox on TikTok for motivational insults.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah, it'd be great for it. Because they only like, what, like 90 seconds or something?
Yeah.
He'd be popular as fuck.
You got squat! Yeah, that's a good one. Cool, moves it over to question number 5. What is it, their duty?
What scene from this film will last for you the longest?
Yeah. For me, we've already mentioned it. It's Bodhi at the gas station with the makeshift flamethrower. Just him sitting there just like, you know.
It's very Zoolander.
It's so fucking good. Yeah. Don't do it, man. It's like, where are these like 2 meter long fucking like petrol pump things, by the way? Like, where is that?
It's not how petrol and fire works, Dan.
Yes, it is. Shut up.
It's not how it works at all.
It's science. It's fucking great. It's so cool. And it's just this Reagan mask. Like, it's so cool. Looks like Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons with the flamethrower. He's loving it. He's having such a good fucking time. Whoever the guy was that did that scene was having the best fucking day.
So, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there are other classic scenes in this film, but that for me is just picture perfect.
I have a feeling your house is going to burn down. Playing with a fucking gas bottle on a barbecue.
Maybe.
The one for me is, again, we've mentioned it as well, is the bit where Keanu Reeves like has Bodhi dead to rights with a gun on him, and then rather than shoots him, he just fires it straight up in the air. And I realised this as a young kid. When I was watching that, I was like, those bullets have to fucking come down somewhere, don't they?
Right? Where are they going? They're going straight up in the air. Someone's just walking his dog and fucking... Bah! Dead.
Some lady sitting on her porch with her poor dog who's just had his ass kicked, and she's like, oh, my poor little pooch, I'm gonna get out of bed. And then just boom, straight through the forehead. Like, oh, my dog, what's happened?
Brutal.
I've got the chase scene as well, but I put only thanks to Hot Fuzz.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, it's iconic. It's such a good scene.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. It is
good. A good scene. I did like that scene. Yes.
And the close up on his eyes and emotion.
It's amazing how much of
a fucking mask.
Exactly. That's what's brilliant about it.
That's how good Swayze is. You can, even through the rubber mask, you can see the emotion.
Yeah. He can seduce you with his eyes.
Seduce you with his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Through the eyes of another president.
Exactly. He can make Reagan sexy. That's how amazing he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a Reagan I'd like to fuck. I mean,
they'll remake this film again and they'll use Donald Trump.
They probably will, actually.
Gross.
Moves us over to question number 6. What is it there, Fuzzy?
Which side character would make for the best spin-off movie? Dirty, tell us.
I put Anthony Kiedis and his missing foot, solely because the soundtrack would be fantastic. We'd have Walk by Foo Fighters. We'd have Walk, These Boots Are Made for Walking, Walk the Line, Walk Hard, and Craig David's I'm Walking Away.
True. Also, the theme song from My Left Foot Always Be Better Than the Right One.
I'm just imagining like a modern pirate movie with him in it, eh? He's just got like a peg leg and hanging off the coast of Somalia, just like, yeah, what's up?
I can do that.
Captain, the server's off the port bow. I remember when I used to surf before Matrix shot off me foot. Give it away now.
Yeah, that's a good one. The one that I would go for was Agent Deets, who was Tom Sizemore's character, who shows up in the house. He's the undercover DEA agent. He's like fizzing off at Keanu Reeves. And it's like, why aren't you fizzing off at Harp? Surely you guys communicate these like undercover stings or whatever. Why are you going like mental at the lackey dude? What the fuck has he got to do with anything?
Yeah, that was all Harp's fault, man. He fucked that up.
Yeah, that arsehole. But yeah, I still reckon Tom Sizemore as an unhinged DEA agent. Yeah, I'd like
you
to see
have
that movie.
The film end with them breaking into the house? Like, that's like where the movie ends. So then, like, you just watch Point Break.
There we go. So it's like a prequel, but it's
And like the night before that scene, he's just like with his missus, and she's like, "I can't be with you anymore. You're in too deep." And he's like, "No. I've got this all planned out.
One more day on the job."
He's like, "Just give me one more chance, babe." She's like, "No, I'm leaving you."
Fuck it. I'm gonna have beer with my cereal. Life is over.
Exactly.
I'm going to go with mine as well. My side character, it's kind of a side character and a main character as well. It's Rosie and Bodhi in Mexico. When they go down to I came across an unclaimed piece of meat in Baja. Like, I want to see that movie finish with the knife fight and Rosie and Bodhi have a knife fight and he cuts them up. That'd be fucking cool.
Jesus.
You and Swayze.
It'd play out like, it's kind of like Dusk Till Dawn. You could do the whole thing. They're escaping down to Mexico.
I can dig it. You've turned me around. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Still have Selma Hayek's foot.
Yeah, still Lee Turgeson drinking off Selma Hayek's foot. It'll be great. I love it. Sign me up.
Hell's yeah. So that question was also a Patreon question. Came courtesy of Emily Higgins of the Tasteless Podcast. And this one is also a Patreon question. Comes courtesy of Dan Brennick of the Netflix and Swill Podcast. Woo. And he would like to know, how would you guys have incorporated Blink-182's song All the Small Things into the movie? Now, Dan has stipulated we're not allowed to just chuck it in the rubbish bin. We've actually got to use it. So what do you guys got?
I've got the chase music through the houses. Like, imagine when like the music starts, da 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 da, as they're fucking running. And I've also got the music that plays when Bodhi dies.
It's definitely a surf training scene for me. Like, that's, small thing. Like, just jumping up on the surfboard. You're dragging your leg. You're fish food. You know, that's the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That was my first crack at it. My second one was, well, because that video is just so preposterous, you need it for a preposterous scene. Mm. And I was thinking the scene where Pappas and Johnny Utah are going around collecting dudes' hair off the beach.
At least you didn't narkers, man.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one of, just saved your life, bro.
Sure, you got a big sucker crawling right in your ear. I know this film, buddy. Come on.
Moves us over to question number 8. What is it there, Doody?
What quote from this film would be the worst thing to hear straight after having sex? I've got some good ones.
There's so many good ones.
I've got 4 pages, so
that's just the rest of my notes. Yeah.
I've got caught my first tube today. That would be a waste of time. Get me 2. We take the skid off. I take the skid off chicken, sir. And we'll get him when he comes back in. He's not coming back in.
Yes, well done. I'm going with my absolute favorite line for the entire film. Speaking to the microphone, squid brain.
I'm going to go with one that you brought up before, Fuzzy, which is, came across an unclaimed piece of meat in Baja, turned out to be Rosie.
Oh, fucking savage.
The other one, that doesn't really need much explanation, but it comes courtesy of Peppers, which is, welcome to SeaWorld, kid.
Oh, that's fucking amazing.
So much sexual gold.
Exactly. Moves us over to question number 9. What is it there, Fuzzy?
Question number 9. What flavor pizza is this movie? For me, this is definitely a vegetarian pizza with barbecue sauce. There's like, you know, there's the vegetarian, there's the, you know, the altruistic society, but the, you're going to have the heavy man sauce. I like it.
Man sauce. So barbecue sauce is man sauce.
It is. It's man sauce. It's got a bit of a kick to it.
Man sauce. So that's man sauce.
That's the other man sauce, yes.
Yes.
The other sauce.
I'm going to remember to order that on my next pizza. I'd like a side of man sauce. Yeah, for me, I mean, the answer's easy. It's surf and turf.
And turf as well, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the most basic answer, isn't it, dude? But it's also the right one.
I was also going to say, like, eating a seafood pizza, but then, like, you accidentally drop it face down on the sand, and then you just pick it up and keep eating it.
Does that happen a lot to you? Are you dropping a lot of pizza on sand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I eat in a sandbox. My wife says I have to dust myself off before coming back in the house.
Oh, good shit. And moves us down to our final Patreon question, the final question that can be applied to any film, which comes courtesy of Hawley of the Contrarians podcast, a podcast in which they rage against the Rotten Tomatoes machine. And what Hawley would like to know is, what is your most controversial opinion about this film?
Come on, Duty, give it to me. Give it to me.
Yo, Duty.
All right, this film gave me Hot Fuzz, but it also gave me Fast and the Furious, and I don't think I can forgive it for that. And Patrick Swayze is meh.
Oh, no. No,
fuck!
You didn't.
Thanks for joining us.
Society is over. Scrambled.
The rest of this podcast will be continued by myself and Fuzzy. Goodbye, Duty.
Just fucking mute him, yeah. My controversial opinion about this film is that Keanu shouldn't have let Swayze go at the end. I needed to see him, like, handcuffed to a police car, like, driving off going, no, the wave, the 50-year storm. Like, that would have been, like, just denying him access to that.
Denied?
Like, yeah.
Sure.
Putting him in a box.
Bruh.
I wanted to see that, man. That would have been a brutal ending. But it also meant we wouldn't have been talking about New Zealand at the end of the film, which is awesome.
Every
time, right?
Yeah. Love a good shout out.
I'm not going to paddle in New Zealand. Yay!
He's not coming back.
He throws away the badge. Ugh.
Yeah, he's not keeping his badge after he punched fucking Dr. Cox in the face and just walked out of a bad shooting.
Oh, yeah, I've got more to say about that.
Sam, what about you,
man? Kind of similar. My most controversial opinion, I don't buy the relationship between Tyler and Johnny Utah at all. I think Laura Petty, like, okay, it doesn't seem fathomable that you'd go for a guy like that. I just don't buy it. Just don't buy that relationship at all.
It's probably a pretty good relationship by her standards. So.
Oh, probably. Yeah, yeah. After Bodhi, he was probably fucking, yeah, awesome.
I'm just going to say, Bodhi's got some STDs going on. Like, that guy gets around.
That man's got a crusty crab.
Brilliant. That moves us over to our personal questions. First up, Fuzzy, what's three things that you'd like to know about this film from us?
All right, so surfing no longer exists in this new universe. Which one of the California Games is now the main theme of this movie? Now, for anyone who doesn't know the California Games, they were a very popular game at the time. And they had games involving halfpipe, roller skating, BMX, footbag, which is actually supposed to be called hacky sack, or flying disc, which is frisbee. So. I've gone with roller skating because I feel like roller skating's gotten a bad rap, and it'll be pretty cool seeing a chase scene through LA, you know, sandy beaches and all the rest of it, and they're just roller skating around and doing stuff, and then he blows out his knee. Give roller skating
It'd
some street cred.
Be rollerball.
It could be rollerball. I like that, but with Swayze and Keanu.
What was the one with Ellen Page and Juliet Lewis?
Oh, the roller derby one. Yeah.
Whip it. Whip it with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
So they're pulling guns out while they're playing.
Exactly right.
They're in president mask.
Love it.
I can see
it. Imagine robbing a bank in roller skates. They have to, like, go on the stops at the front. They're, like, walking through. Like, it'd be great.
You literally have the bank teller seeing people dressed as presidents with roller skates on, clopping their way in, going, shit's about to go down.
Sam, what about you?
Oh, God, I don't know how to follow that. I'm just imagining a dude like, go to the vault, and just goes down the stairs and then turns around and is like, how the fuck am I supposed to get out of here?
Oh, no, stairs, my natural enemy.
God damn him. I'm going to go for the believability factor. And, you know, Johnny Utah is supposedly this ace quarterback from, like, Kansas or wherever the hell they give him shit about being from. So I would have said frisbee, flying disc, whatever you want to call it. I could imagine him having a good arm. Yeah, that. Because nothing is more counterculture and anti the establishment than throwing a frisbee around in a park with your friends. Ignore the dog bite marks on the frisbee. There's nothing more than that, man.
We can't call it frisbee, though, because we haven't actually spent the money to get the frisbee brand names. It is definitely flying disc.
Oh, sorry, yes, flying disc.
For me, I actually went something outside, but it's still part of the LA lifestyle. I went with Venice Beach bodybuilding. Because let's see Keanu Reeves put on a fuckload of muscle in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's a skinny dude, man. Yep.
So he learned to surf into 2 weeks. Let's see if he can learn to get a fucking...
get his bulk on.
Kilo bench press in 2 weeks.
Just like downing like an entire bottle of like protein powder and like...
And yeah. you can still do the same thing with his blown knee. He's doing a leg press and it just goes wrong.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah, I can see that. I can feel that.
All works.
I like it.
Cool. What you got next there, bud?
Okay, so this is now a Muppet movie. All of the cast except one have been replaced with Muppets. So one person gets to keep their regular body. I'm going with Gary Busey for this one.
Oh, God damn it.
I picked Busey as well.
Because he's a human Muppet anyways.
Is it just a caricature of what a human's supposed to be, you know? He's just like...
I picked Busey but for the exact same reason of I want to see him get shot with a shotgun. I want to see him punch out a Muppet in a bank to get away and ask a Muppet if they've seen his dog. Like, just imagine him getting shot and falling on the ground. There's Kermit with a shotgun just behind.
That's a good one. My backup answer, because I mean, Busey's the obvious answer. My backup answer was Harp, because much as I want to see... you know, like a Muppet get punched out. I also want to see somebody get punched out by a Muppet. I'd love to see just a Busey Muppet just lay him out.
My backup answer was having Patrick Swayze, because it'd just be fun. Like, you know, Utah gets to the party and there's Patrick Swayze making out with a Muppet doing the, you know, the tequila lime thing. It'd be gross.
It'd also be pretty funny. Like, what did you do today, Utah?
I caught my first tube today.
Love it.
I am an FBI agent.
Beautiful.
Oh, fuck that movie.
Speaking of beautiful, Keanu won the 1992 MTV Award for Most Desirable Male. Award I've been knocked back from several times. Not going to stop me applying. Exactly how robbed should Patrick Swayze feel?
Not at all.
What are you talking about? Not at all.
He's fuck ugly.
That man was 39 years old when he made this film, and he
is... too old
is...
to begin the training.
He is beautiful. He is a beautiful piece of man meat in this film. I there is nothing sexier than Patrick Swayze in this film. I'm sorry. He's
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, no, he's hotter than Hugh Jackman. I'm telling you right now. He had the surfer body down. You know, as a man of the similar age, I'm obviously similarly cut. So, you know, I know what it's like, what he has to go through to get that body.
Yeah.
Like, Keanu's nice to look at, but Swayze, man, that stirs my man bits.
So imagine if they had, like, Val Kilmer instead of Swayze.
Ugh.
No, I'm with you, Fuzzy, man. I think he should feel more robbed than 30 Banks in 4 years. That's how I think he should.
Oh, yeah. It's just too hot for this film, man. Like you said before, Roadhouse. I mean, remember Roadhouse? So hot in that film too.
Oh, he's so good.
Swayze was a sex machine back in the day. He just had it all going on, buddy.
You can tell he fucked, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again, STDs everywhere, rampant.
And that moves me over to my set of questions. I've sort of alluded to it earlier, but I want to know from you guys what you think is more unbelievable. Keanu learning how to surf in 2 weeks. And not only learning how to surf, I'll point out that he learns how to surf on a shortboard in fucking the middle of the night, which is...
yeah.
Yeah, it took me 3 months to learn how to stand up. I don't know how the hell this guy's doing that in 2 weeks. Maybe Keanu's a better man than me. According to my wife, he is. But anyway, I want to know from you guys, what's more unbelievable? Keanu learning how to surf within 2 weeks Keanu the pro football player, or Keanu having a law degree?
Oh, I'd say the law degree, because he knew, like, with the law degree, you know fuckloads about, like, what you can
about law do, and
about
stuff.
Law. And you know you can't necessarily get your FBI badge back after you walk out of a bank shooting that your partner knocked out your superior.
I love Keanu's southern lawyer bit, like, that he does. Because it comes up again in The Devil's Advocate. Like, ugh. I love that stuff. He's really good really believable as that southern lawyer. Football, though. I mean, come on. Like, that guy's tiny. He's going to get fucking snapped in half the first time they sack him. So,
yeah, but,
football. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I believe more than football than Patrick Swayze being.
I believe.
I tell you what I believe.
Fair enough. Next question. Why the hell does Keanu let Bodie go twice?
Because he might actually be bad at his job.
might
be. He may be the worst FBI agent
I've
of
got
all time.
Service leave, and I want to get made redundant. I just want to surf all day with Laurie Petty.
Look, he's a terrible FBI agent. He doesn't do anything in this that would actually make you go, yeah, fuck,
so
that guy's
Paul Walker.
Yeah, Paul Walker may be worse for many reasons, which we won't go into. We won't speak ill of the dead. Nothing he does is redeemable. He kind of just guesses at stuff.
Yeah.
They half-ass, like, the research on the first guys, and they bust in that house and kill a bunch of dudes, and, yeah, that's okay. Move on to the next one. And then Laurie Petty finds his fucking badge.
Like, that's American fucking cops for you, though. Like, let's shoot and ask questions later.
I mean, okay.
Presumably any American listeners.
So you're an FBI agent, you're undercover, and you've got your undercover girlfriend, you know, staying over at your house. Put your fucking badge in a locked drawer or something, or leave it in the car. Don't leave it out for somewhere for her to find it. It's like he's leaving the keys out in the ground and, like, his gun and his badge everywhere. Like, fucking idiot. And also, how many FBI agents are working this specific case? Like, if they're doing bank robbery for everybody, like, they've got, like, at least two sets of detectives, FBI agents, working on this fucking case.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like overkill.
It's almost like they were like, okay, we realize how bad this guy is. Let's just, like, let him go down his idea about surfing, and then we won't have to put up with him for the rest of the fucking week.
Fucking get him out of the office. Go, go, go.
Yeah. Get that dude out of this office
so we can actually
do some real work.
We don't have enough cake to go around.
Yeah. Oh, you found chemicals in the hair. Oh, wow.
Yeah, go check that out.
Put this report on the fridge.
Yeah, go look into sex wax for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Go start harassing a bunch of, like, Nazi surfers. That's a great idea, man. Get rid of him. He is terrible at his job. I mean, like, the one that flummoxed me the most is that he's chased this guy through Mexico, through Indonesia, through Fiji, all the way to Australia, has a fight with him, chains him, you need to go in a cage. Oh, but look, it's the best wave of all time. Okay, see you, bye. And he just quits his job on the way out. That for me was just like, I was like, at one point, has he been punched in the head so hard that he's got concussion syndrome and he's got no idea what's really going on? And then I was thinking, nah, maybe he actually just fucking wants Swayze to die. Maybe he's like, I don't want to see this guy in a prison.
That's
I don't want him.
Too much paperwork.
Yeah, too much paperwork. I don't want to see him breaking out of prison or getting out, you know, earlier or anything like that. I want this guy dead. And if he goes out and surfs it, that guy is dead. I reckon that's what I'm going for.
Okay.
What if there was, like, an end credit scene where you see Birdie's hand on the shore and it's just, like, he's alive?
Yeah. The end, ?
But even better, it's actually in New Zealand and he has paddled to New Zealand.
He gets out of fucking bluff.
Yeah. Just his body lying on a beach and it's getting pecked at by Kiwis.
Final question from me. I'm going to almost use quotation marks around part of this, one of the words in the sentence, but how the hell did the director manage to get a coherent performance out of Gary Busey? He's understandable enough in this movie, but I want to know from you guys, how did Catherine Bigelow, amazing woman that she is, manage to get a coherent performance out of Gary Busey?
Offered him a new dog to sniff coke off.
It's still his greatest story ever. Yeah.
We give you a Bichon and we hide the coke in its fur. White dog, white powder. You find it.
Some say
I'm all over it,
dog.
He's licking its paws.
Yeah. Like, this was before he became, like, I think he became much, much bigger after this film.
Oh, Predator 2.
Predator 2, obviously his career highlight. But like Under Siege, like he around this time, he was making a lot of films, and this was when he started doing the coke. So that's when he started getting super fucking loose. But he was always that loose wire, like, rah, what am I going to do? I'm going to fucking stab some dude. Rah! Like, he was always
he's
on edge.
He's Fender from Futurama. Practice my stabbing.
Pretty much. That's how he signs his contracts, like stabs his name into it.
There's definitely a lot of scenes that almost felt like a cry for help, eh? You're almost like, okay, the writing's on the wall here, guys. How is no one helping this dude? You know, how is no one coming to this guy's aid and maybe stopping him from going full-blown insane?
He's just asked for 2 meatball subs. No man can eat 2 meatball subs.
I can. I can smack that down any day of the week.
Anywho, that moves us over to Duty's questions. What do you got there, bud?
If we had to do a female remake, recast, re-spin of this film like we got with Ghostbusters, who would Rebel Wilson play?
We need her in there for like 5 seconds and she's out. So I'm thinking the sassy FBI office assistant. Hot, Utah. Very hot. And that's it. Like, that's one line and she's fucking done.
That's no, I would say surface because then you'd get to see her surf.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
You may have broken it there. Yes. So
I like Rebel Wilson.
So she's Bodhi in this film.
She's Bodhi.
I like it.
Rebel Wilson is Bodhi. Oh, I'd pay so much money to see that movie. For me, that annoying little surfer kid, that's just like, 25, eh? Yeah, there's heaps of people your age. I could imagine Rebel Wilson saying that and just sitting there just growling in my chair, just, oh, you fucking Rebel Wilson.
I like it.
Yep.
Next one I got is, instead of skydiving, what alternate extreme sport would the gang do?
So we need something big air. Like big tricks, big moves, big spins. I want to see them do motocross.
Motocross?
Yeah, baby. Like, I like it. Just it's surfing in the dirt. It's dirt surfing. It'd be so much fun. I reckon motocross would be a good one. And I know they tried to bring in a little bit of motocross shit into that whatever that remake was.
I never saw it.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Rebel Wilson.
It should. It's that bad. But yeah, motocross, I think it'd be really fun to do. Because then you can have cool dirt bike chases too. Think like Terminator 2, but with like more dirt bikes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Damn.
I hate this in movies, and I don't know why I've written this down, but I've gone with it anyway. Parkour.
Parkour.
Bodie's a fucking natural at it, man. He's like parkouring his way all through the city. Keanu Reeves can't do it for shit. That's exactly what we want. It's exactly the same as him surfing, basically. Bodhi's amazing, Keanu sucks. But yeah, parkour.
And his knee's definitely getting fucking popped out doing that, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Misses a roll sometime. I mean, parkour would be perfect if it was 2004 and we were trying to remake this movie. Like, that would be, like, you know, so hot right then.
Yeah.
I was about to say, this was almost ahead of the curve, was parkour through the city. Like, because it was the mid to late 2000s. So much so that one of my favorite movies of all time is Punisher Warzone, simply because the director got hit up about it and that they asked her, are you going to put parkour in this movie? She's like, fuck no, I'm not going to put parkour in this movie. Like, you should put parkour in your movie. Everyone's doing it. She's like, okay. So she just put 3 parkour dudes in it and one of them takes an RPG to the fucking chest while parkouring between buildings. She was like, this is my way of saying fuck you to parkour. Lexi Alexander, you're a legend.
Oh, man. Punisher Warzone is underrated as fuck.
Yeah, I believe that is exactly as rated as it should be.
My only negative about that film is that I wish they kept Thomas Jane. So then it's like a sequel to the 2004 one.
Yeah, especially because he did that Dirty Laundry video that popped up on YouTube. Yeah,
that was fucking rad.
Yeah, Tom Jane would have been good.
I've got spelunking as my extreme sport because imagine they're all giving them like bags and oxygen and stuff, and it's like, are they gonna do the descent, like the tiny narrow cave?
Oh, okay.
Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they robbing a bank in a cave? Like, where's the bank? Like,
robbing a bank in the sky as they skydive.
Okay,
pay waving fucking robbing.
Oh, they're escaping through the caves. I've got you. Yeah. Imagine a chase through caves. That'd be amazing.
Be awesome.
Yeah. Really slow, but amazing.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Oh, we can't fit in there. Let's get the dog in there.
It's kind of the opposite.
Rebel Wilson,
skydiving.
Get in. Well, speaking of meatball subs, the last question is, if Gary Busey is a meatball sub, what sandwich is Johnny Utah, Bodhi, and Laurie Petty?
All right. Well, Utah is definitely a tuna on wheat.
Oh, I fucking knew you were going to say
it. Well, he has to be, because it's also the thing that fucking Paul Walker eats in Fast and the Furious. It's the grossest sandwich ever invented. Whoever puts fucking cooked tuna on a sandwich, yuck.
I've had tuna on sandwich. It's fine.
It's gross. It's
my daily meal.
You guys.
Why you're having tuna when you can have blue cod, I do not fucking understand, Sam.
Yeah.
Bodhi is a vegan wrap.
God damn it.
Laurie Petty, for me, she's one of those really annoying, like, Italian subs from Subway.
Oh, like an Italian BMT or something like that?
Yeah, just one that's just, like, too spicy. Like, you're not into it. It's like, yeah, it's just a little bit too much salt.
I was going to say Laurie Petty is like when you put chips, like Smith's chips, inside of two pieces of bread. But rather than using like normal, like a normal person would, they'd be like spicy teriyaki chips. So they'd be really, it's a fucked up sandwich.
Yeah, it's just not quite a right sandwich, right?
Yeah. I can dig
they
that.
They put Lamington chips inside.
Lamington chips.
Yeah, there we go.
Man, Lamington chips are awful.
I had a very similar thinking to you there, Fuzzy. Utah, I actually went with like triple cheese, given how cheesy some of the dialogue is in this. But he's also with chicken that hasn't got any skin, so like skinless chicken breast or something. Like that.
I had skinless chicken breast, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Bodhi as well, yeah, had the same as you. It's some sort of vegan special. No animals were hurt in the making of that sub. Yeah. And then it's a very similar thing. Laurie Petty, I was like a spicy chicken jalapeno, because you know it would just burn you out when you're finished with it.
It tastes good going down, but afterwards, ooh, yeah. Regret.
Once you're done, it's done with you too.
I like it. What about you, Judy? Any new ones?
I had the chicken, the skin chicken breast for Johnny Utah.
Yep.
The fucked up flavored of chips inside two pieces of bread for Laurie Petty. And for Bodhi, I'd probably say just two pieces of bread and sand.
It's like, coarse. It gets everywhere.
You could go with the vegan option, but yeah, of course you're going to go vegan. So, sex wax for like butter, sand.
Sex wax and sand.
A couple of $100 bills for like, you know, lettuce, a bit of greenery in there.
Maybe crab sticks.
Crab sticks. He made them himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasty.
A special one he brewed himself.
Scrapes
definitely.
Them off his own body.
I mean, it's pretty. Yeah, he gets some of that baby oil off his body as well.
Yeah.
Moves us down to our final question, which is, of course, a listener question that we threw out there to you guys, our dear listeners, to answer for us. But before we get into your guys' answers and then judge you accordingly, I want to throw it around these guys and see what they've got. The listener question is, which famous person or character would you dress up as to rob banks? Because obviously in this film, we see them dress up as the dead, well, it's not dead presidents at that time, but it's the presidents, and they are, you know, Reagan, Nixon, and don't know who the other ones are, LBJ, and...
And the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. But what about you guys? Who would you dress up as if you were going to start robbing banks?
I'd probably get the Power Rangers.
Not bad.
Power Rangers or the Ninja Turtles, but it'd be like that. That's the thing with the presidents. They're in suits and they're wearing masks. Like, Power Rangers? No, you full suiting up for a Power Ranger outfit.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened? Oh, could you tell me what it looked like? Well, it was the red Power Ranger that told everyone to get to the floor. The yellow Power Ranger went into the vault and the blue one just started beating the shit out of people.
And Keanu Reeves was there.
Keanu Reeves was just standing there.
Okay, I like it.
Like that's got to be the best conversation to hear. Like, Power Rangers are beating people up.
Right, the Power Rangers rob the bank. Okay, this guy's a fucking suspect.
Exactly.
No one's going to believe you.
All right.
I'm suggesting that it's going to be a person that no one would suspect, so it's going to be Oprah. Because she doesn't need the money.
You get on the ground, and you get on the ground, and everybody get on the ground.
You stole my line. Yes. It'd be fucking great. It's so good. Like, it's fucking Oprah. Oprah's got a fucking Uzi. What the fuck is going on? Like, just, I love
Dr.
it.
Dr. Phil Gittin, get on the ground, you scumbag.
I feel like you should. Get on the ground.
It's just TV personalities. John Oliver.
It's actually just like those hosts from those terrible shows.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Jimmy Fallon, obviously. Yeah. Or Ricky Lake, you know, retired game show host. So
Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks, yes.
Yes. Jerry Springer, Sally Jesse Raphael.
Jerry Springer, people are just going to fight each other. Oh, we don't need to get them on the floor. They're all beating each other up.
Yeah.
And then someone doesn't open the vault, and, the pregnancy test came back and said, you're the father. Now open the fucking vault.
because I'm still living in 2002, I would have gone with Winona Ryder.
She's stealing shit anyway, man. She's got a file.
So exactly. That's what I'm saying, man.
And she was also in Auckland for some reason.
Yeah. And then just to mix things up, like the rest of my gang could probably be the Winona Ryder lookalikes. So, you know, you got Keira Knightley, Natalie Portman, all those.
Johnny Depp from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, there we go. So, yeah, throw it out there to you guys, our dear listeners, to answer this for us. And we're just going to run through as many as we can. First up, the most amazing woman in the world. That is Tara Mihalik. It's just said Patrick Swayze. Makes sense.
I mean, sure, I guess.
I mean, but the problem is no one will believe it because no one has that fucking body because there is only one Swayze.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze from different films.
Oh.
So Ghost is invisible.
Oh, yeah.
Just a guy wearing a sheet.
Yeah, just a guy wearing a sheet and holding a bag of money.
Ooh.
I'm Patrick Swayze from Ghost.
Roadhouse Swayze's just ripping out necks.
Yeah. And some high-waisted jeans. I like it.
Paul from the Countdown podcast went with Ash from the Evil Dead series. I'd also strap a chainsaw to my arm. No one would be looking up from that bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the boomstick, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Good answer there, Paul. Julio from the Contrarians said I'd get groupies. And he's got Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's just been on Broadway of Hamilton.
Yes. Oh, right. Very popular music guy.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Steve from Everything I Learned from Movies went with Tom Hanks. They probably wouldn't even chase after me.
That's right. They'd just give him the money.
They'd be like, Tom Hanks couldn't. No one who speaks German could be an awful man. Bro, granted. It'd be that with Tom Hanks. Like, no way he did that.
He's America's uncle. He's just so nice. Yeah.
Oh, but he's dressed up as A Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood. He's dressed up as fucking
Mr. Rogers.
That's it. Yes.
Oh, fuck. Tom Hanks.
Get on the ground. Count to 10. You're all my friends, but if you lift your face off the floor, I'm going to shoot you.
Emily Higgins from Tasteless Podcast said, if it was a mask for my personal use, I'd say Sandra Bullock, but I don't want her to get in trouble for crime. I don't want to know what you're doing with Sandra Bullock masks in your own private time, Emily, but good on you.
I mean, what are you using a Sandra Bullock mask for in your own private time? That's the question that we really need to answer here.
Getting on buses.
Getting on buses. I have experience.
Imagine just like getting on a, like literally your bus driver doors open, you just look at the passenger and it's just a random wearing a fucking Sandra Bullock mask.
Hi.
Going to 55 and I'll shoot you.
So she then basically turned that into Bill Murray. Yeah.
Ghostbusters. You could rob the bank as Ghostbusters.
Zombie, yes. Bill Murray.
Oh, zombie Bill Murray.
Yeah, I like it.
LJ Human said, I feel like Russell Crowe would be roomy enough and also have the plausibility criminal believability factor.
Read out your response, Sam.
To which I wrote, just make sure that you throws a phone at someone on the way out. You'll be sweet. Dan is not the problem. Also said Tom Hanks. I think people will respond really well to Tom Hanks. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan Altieri said Elvira.
Ah, Bubarella, yeah.
Whoa, I mean, you're not running very far in that outfit, are you? Like,
no.
The getaway is very, like, it's a slow shuffle out
the
door.
Two black eyes, that's what you're getting.
Exactly.
It's very distinctive, too. Some portly gentleman in an Elvira costume came and robbed the bank.
Strange thing is, guy came into the hospital, two black eyes, don't know where he came from.
Yeah. Renegade also said Bill Murray. Cinema guys said Nicolas Cage. God damn you, cinema guys, you stole my answer. Yeah. The Tom Hanks Defence Force said for Jack, it's Mike Pence. Well, he's kind of almost a president. Kyle A. Goethe said Betty White.
Golden Girls. Golden Girls, Rob Banks.
Nick said cool. Carl from Up. The old dude out of Up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Scoots TV said Chris Farley robbing banks down by the river. And then Michael Miller said, shouldn't it be a presidential mask to fit in with the gang? With that stipulation, I would wear Millard Fillmore. He has a funny name and no one knows who he is. Correct? I've got no idea who the fuck he is.
That's one way of getting away.
Good old Millard.
And then he said, although under your rules, wearing a Keanu Reeves mask to rob a bank would be a great case of Inception. Completely agree.
Same thing with Patrick Swayze.
There we go.
Glenn McGregor said John Wick, who's going to try and stop him?
Yeah.
I mean, they want to get his autograph, though. That's the thing, right? They're not
going to...
Like,
they're not going to... No one's going to go up to John Wick with an item you use to write things down with.
Yeah,
that's the saying, okay, here's a gun, shoot me.
Yeah.
When he's like, everyone goes to Office Works before they go to the actual bank. That's when, you know, he just walks in there with a pencil, four John Wicks holding pencils.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Two John Wicks, two Jokers.
Throw it over there to Facebook and a couple of messages we got over there. Drew Hallam from the Real Feels podcast said, I made a joke about dressing up as the characters from Rocky Horror Picture Show on our podcast. That'd be pretty good.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah, that'd work.
Again, very like revealing clothing that fits into the Elvira character category.
Yeah,
like,
hard just, to run in. That's what you want, eh?
Hard to run in. That's what I was going
to
say.
Hard to run in, lots of leather and straps. So
yeah, it seals in the flavor.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's a one and done kind of outfit. Like, you know, you're buying those fresh every bank you rob.
Yeah, they're going to rob banks, taking to tell. Well, someone spent $800 on leather.
They've got a leather guy who goes with their gun. He's next to the gun guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Topher from We Watch the Thing said Sergio Ramos, and he said an answer only Sam will get. Sergio Ramos plays for Real Madrid, and they cost Liverpool, my beloved football team, from winning a Champions League.
That's right, but he does judo trip everybody, so that's fine. He can just judo everybody
something
in the bank.
About soccer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Soccer reference. It's fine.
Good old soccer.
We'll catch you up.
Yeah.
Nick McAllister said a pig costume, and then he said it would forever go down as the piggy bank heist.
Winner.
Yes. We need him to write a Rebel Wilson female remake of this film.
Good work, Nick. That was brilliant. Andy Campbell had just posted a gif of Baby Yoda.
Yeah, that's Andy.
Yeah. Ray Dent went with Ron Perlman. People will forever be confused about whether it was human or cats that robbed the bank.
Thank you, Mr. Statsman.
Justin from Epic Film Guy said Charles Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of our former guests, Stacey didn't really want to be on this, but she basically said she'd ever want to dress up as Cameron Poe from Con Air, or she'd like to dress up as Nicolas Cage out of Con Air. I was like, good one, Stacey. Good one. The last two that we got, one was from Kahu, who said Winston Peters, which only makes sense if you're from New Zealand, but yeah, good on you, Kahu. And final one that I thought was quite impressive, given that his answers on our show are usually quite stupid, was from Machu, and he said the Monopoly Man.
I like it.
The Monopoly Man robs another bank. He did not pass go, but he did collect $200.
Exactly.
We're still trying to send him to jail. Like, the news article headlines would be fucking fantastic.
It's exactly what the newspapers need, right? Yeah. They live off that for a month.
He went down Mayfield before catching the train.
Took a chance, robbed the community chest. Anywho, that's the end. I reckon Nick McAllister this week, I reckon he gave the best answer. The piggy bank heist was probably...
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, right there.
Can't beat that. Anyway, thank you everyone for writing in, and thank you to these two for joining us to discuss such an awesome movie. Now, why don't you guys tell all of our listeners about the Shaken Not Nerd and Shaken Not Noob?
We're pointing at each other trying to figure out who's going to do it. I'll do it today because
I always do it. Tells me no.
So you can check us out on Shaken Not Nerd. We talk about movies and pop culture and all sorts of fun stuff. We did generally get sidetracked quite a bit. So,
this week's episode.
Like this week's episode, which our fans picked, and we did Judge Dredd, which was... It was something.
Still brought up James Marsden.
It was still something. We also do a podcast called Shaken Not Noob. It's on the same channel, where we talk about video games. So that's really fun because we like to do both of those things. So we just get to talk about all the fun shit that we do all the time every week. It's great. So check us out on the Shaken Not Nerd banner. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and other places.
We had TikTok, but I got rid of it. After I saw Dr. Cox's motivational speeches, I decided to take myself off TikTok.
We tick, but we do not talk.
We're on Twitch as well.
Oh, Twitch, yes. Yeah, come and check us out. We're on YouTube. Like, we've got everything. If there's a public media, social media channel that we're not on, I'm yet to find it. Check us out.
Well, yeah, thanks again to you guys. Oh, it's been a blast. It's been an absolute blast. I've been meaning to have you guys on for a while. And, you know, like, I was trying to figure out which ones of the Shaken Not Nerd guys to get on. And, you know, everyone loves hanging out with a pair of Ds. And that's exactly what I've got. I've got a pair of Ds. I've even got a set of double Ds in the Doody Dooch room. So, yeah, it's been great. Thanks again for listening. If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In. You can find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. And you can send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com. Got a couple of upcoming episodes that I will not talk about now. Cool. Cheers. Anyway, that's thanks from me.
Cheers.
Cheerio.